Welcome back to This Week in the Association. Kevin Lucco joins me once again. Kevin, we begin with where we left at last week and talk about the American Association Championship. So let's start off with that.
Well, as we really went into a great deal of detail with last week, there is a lot of differing views on what happened in Game 4, and nobody has really been shy about expressing their opinion on it. We've seen it on Facebook through a page called Independent Baseball Chat and from other sources. So the game's been over with for a week. The so-called championship's been awarded, but the controversy still kind of rages on, and everybody seems to have a strong opinion about it.
Well, I think we've been able to hear and read some of the responses from Wichita players and coach members of the coaching staff, and know that they feel like this went down in the wrong kind of way. And I would assume most people will look at that and think, well, this is sour grapes. But they're not the only one feeling this way. We're seeing a lot of other players, members of families of players who are out there, you know, suggesting the same kind of things, that this went down completely in the wrong way.
Yes, and then I decided to listen in to the end of the year show up in Winnipeg and get the Winnipeg point of view on it. And the money quote from Rick Forney was, "The umpires upheld the rules of the game." Explain that one to me.
Well, I think that's one of those situations where anything's a rule if the umpire's saying it. So, okay, yeah, you upheld that you can call something a balk. I believe that I've made my particular point of this clear, that the pitch before that and that pitch were exactly identical in terms of stopping and everything related to it. And so to even call that a balk, well, you should have been calling the pitch before it a balk then too, which neither of them were. And once again, I think the most important aspect of that is that Ryan Cushman could care less about the runner on second base. He's not doing anything to deceive anybody. He's got two strikes and two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning and is one strike away from winning the championship and could care less what Wes Darvall is doing. He's not going anywhere anyway. So congratulations once again to Joe Stegner, American Association Championship Series MVP, as far as I'm concerned.
And a basketball coach at a community college in Idaho, I believe, during the off season. If you looked it up, you could find his phone number, but not suggesting anything, folks.
Yeah, we don't want any of that. No harassing people. Wait till they come around to umpire next year.
If you want to do it on your own dime. I didn't recommend it. And another quote I got from Forney last night, and I'm glad he admitted this. He said that it was going to be impossible for Wichita to bounce back after going through what they went through in Game 4. So these people that are saying, well, you still had 8 innings to win, you still could have won Game 5. Even the victorious manager is admitting that you just cannot bounce back from that.
Well, you know, I don't think there's anything that any one of us can look at and say, well, we totally understand how they would feel, because there's just no way. I this is a situation that I look at and I say, there's no way that I could put my head around. You have a championship. You're running out on the field to jump on each other and pile up and celebrate a championship. And that's called back by something, you know, didn't happen. I can't even imagine what that's like from a player standpoint. So to go from the ultimate high to a complete letdown is something I think that's beyond anybody's comprehension.
And let me throw this one out here. Rick Forney said he had no idea what was happening. He just saw the umpire kind of walking out to the mound, and he thought, well, ooh, maybe something's up here. If Forney didn't even see it was a balk, obviously it wasn't a balk, because any manager is looking for any little thing on the field which he could use to parlay the play into his team's favor, and that wasn't happening.
Yeah, it's stunning that, I think, again, with the exception of Joe Stegner, nobody saw that was a balk, and I did read some people talking about that Martin Medina, the catcher for Wichita, obviously knew that a balk had gone on because he didn't go out to the mound to celebrate. Well, first of all, he wouldn't have gone out until the last out is made. He's got to make sure that, you know, in case that runner is coming home and the out isn't made, that he's standing there at home plate. So he's waiting till the final out is made. And then at that point, the umpire made the balk call anyway. So clearly he's not going to be able to go out there because he's never given the opportunity to go celebrate.
The contention in Winnipeg was that the only people that knew were the batter, Medina, and the umpire. So,
yeah, exactly. And so you can't be really criticizing Medina in this spot here because he's waiting for the out to be made and then make his move towards, you know, celebrating. So that's not really an indicator that he knew a balk had already been called. So, terrible call. Worst call ever in the league, maybe the worst call ever in umpiring, and unfortunately, it's tainted the league in a bad way that probably is going to take at least a few years before anybody gives any credibility to this league again.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I was just going to describe it as a black eye to the league, and, well, black eyes take a little while to heal up, so we shall see. It's hard to tell. If Stegner is in the league, wow, if people in Wichita truly pay attention, and I do believe they have good fans down there, they are good, solid baseball fans. If Stegner does a game down there next year, they ought to eat him up.
Yep.
Once again, I'm not making any suggestions, people. Don't bring batteries to the ballpark. Don't bring rotten fruit. Don't listen to me.
Yeah, but definitely he deserves an earful of how terrible that call was.
Well, no friend, of course. We got to keep it classy.
Absolutely. Wichita's known for a classy crowd down there, for sure. Well, let's talk about the Atlantic League. They are bound to their championship series, and we want to specifically talk about this because there's a nice St. Paul Saints flavor to the series.
Yes, there is. It's going to be the Long Island Ducks featuring former Saints standout Angelo Sanko, facing off against York Revolution and Alonzo Harris. So we know one former Saint's going to bring home a ring this year. That we do know.
Both of them having key contributions to the team there. Sanko was among the league leaders in home runs for, I still think, and finished in the top five or six. So exciting time for them. And next weekend, when Kevin and I gather for the show, we'll be discussing a little bit more about that championship series just getting underway tonight. So good luck to both those teams, and we hope the best for them.
I believe if you look it up, you will be able to watch the games online if you're having a fix for independent baseball.
Needing some baseball.
And hopefully their series is going to be void of any controversies that the American Association seem to have.
Yeah, I think we've had enough of that for a while.
But let's let the teams win this one.
Well, before discussing anything else, there's been some circumstances that have happened around independent baseball that we and just life in general that Kevin and I wanted to spend a little bit of time with. First of all, a kind of a loss in terms of information provided to fans about baseball, independent baseball in particular.
Yes, my good friend and colleague Bill Tyler has set down the famous NorthernLeagueFan.com/AABFan.com message boards. It's just kind of like it's a parallel to what's happened with social media in general, where people have gravitated more towards expressing their opinions on Facebook and Twitter as opposed to going on a message board. To give you folks a little bit of history, the message board started up around 2002 when the Northern League used to have their own message board on their website, and it got controversial. There were people in Schaumburg expressing opinions, and team officials were going on and expressing stuff, and eventually the owners in Schaumburg didn't like what was on there, and the league decided to ditch the message board. Well, Bill is kind of a well-known throughout the Northern League, and they went to him and said, hey, can you start up a message board on your website, which if you people have been on there, NLFan.com was mostly a guide for collectibles and ballpark guide for people that want to look up stuff as far as going on trips to see other Northern League teams. So Bill took it upon himself to add the message boards to his website, and it really spiked up the volume. The big time, I believe, was around 2005 when the four teams left the American Association, or left the Northern League for the American Association, and the message boards are kind of like Crisis Central for people wanting to stay caught up on the news coming out from the various cities. And it was really good reading. I was kind of mesmerized by it for a good 3, 4, 5 days until all the stories settled down. For people that read it, Bill, when it came to the stuff he'd post on there, Bill was very detail-oriented. His posts were often very long, but they were well thought out, and if you took the time to read them, they were very informative. But then there were his detractors that didn't like what he had to say, and within that, you would get these little arguments from people that were a little less informed in league matters. So there were always people that always thought of Bill as, oh, gosh, he's a know-it-all. Well, guess what, folks? Maybe he's not a know-it-all, but he knew a lot more than any of us did. But then as the years went on, Facebook and Twitter took hold, and heck, I mean, podcasts like ours and other sources were out there for information, and as we've seen with a lot of message boards, they just got to the point where the traffic just kind of came to a halt. So Bill, a couple weeks, decided to shut the boards down, and I hope he kept archives, because I really would like to go back some time and read some of the posts from the 2005 breakup. But I think all of us that follow independent baseball, old Bill Tyler, a big thank you for all he did for all those years and keeping us informed.
I completely agree with you, because it's one of those circumstances where a lot of times you can't get independent baseball news out there. You know, especially 10, 15 years ago. As you mentioned, it's a lot different now, but there was a time that people weren't really discussing this very much, except for stuff that teams put out directly themselves. So he was providing a service that I think we can't really express how important that was for us as baseball fans of leagues like the American Association.
He had an annual fee that he had to pay for the message boards, keep them free from ads, and every year teams, general managers, owners, whatever, they came forward to pay whatever Bill needed to keep the message boards ad free every year. Goes to show you how much the boards were being used by teams, and yeah, it was definitely a great run Bill had with them.
We also wanted to send our well wishes out there. A person who's been a big fan of St. Paul Saint baseball for quite a while. Kevin found out some news last night, so we'll let him share that with us.
Yeah, my good friend Ben Zermeta went into cardiac arrest last night. He was in bed. His wife noticed he was having a hard time breathing, called 911, and she administered CPR while the medics arrived. I really don't have a lot of information to share right now on his condition. To give you a little background on Ben, it's kind of a neat story. I think it was like 2012, Ben and Stephanie went to their first Saints game. It was on 4th of July, it was about 100 degrees out, but they were hooked. The next season came around, they had season tickets. They pride themselves on making it to every game, which they had for 4 years. They also had a blog called Saints Train where they would recap homestands, and they were both photographers, so they put up a lot of photos to go with it. And a lot of people with the Saints entertainment team and the Saints front office became good friends with them. So they quickly became a big part of the Saints family, and I'd just like to give my thoughts and prayers today are with Ben, and here's hoping for a full and speedy recovery.
And we hope you out there and listening to the show will remember him as well, and keep him in your prayers out there if that's of your faith belief out there. Well, there isn't obviously a lot going around in the league that's happening right at the moment with the season just ending, but one big trade did occur this past weekend. Tommy Mendoza traded from Lincoln to Fargo. They send left-hander Will Solomon to the Salt Dogs. An interesting trade here, I thought.
It's hard to say what you can read into it at this point. Did Mendoza find somebody in Fargo on a road trip, and we're having another David Bergen situation, which I mentioned that last night. Rick Forney was talking about the David Bergen trade, and I had to laugh out loud because he said we had a hard time making a deal, but in the end, we had a trade that everybody benefited from. Well, let's see. Bergen had the season of his career. Mr. Kyle Anderson went to Gary in the trade, and I don't believe he pitched at all for them.
Nice.
The Saints got the reversionary rights to Jose Sermo, who is still fairly entrenched in the Red Sox organization. So I don't know what Rick Forney saw in that was beneficial to all three teams, but there's a different guy up in Winnipeg, I guess, even though he's back home in Maryland now.
Well, I know that in talking with David Bergen, just after the season began this last year, that, you know, he met his fiance up there in Winnipeg, a school teacher, and wanted to be closer to home, and that's awesome. You know, this he wanted to be around her, so I think that's great. And I believe actually getting married at spring break of next year, so we want to wish congratulations to him. But Winnipeg was the only place he was going to play this year, so it wasn't hard to see that a deal needed to be made. But like you said, the version of the story is always what makes it enjoyable to listen to, I guess. So,
yeah, it was one of the very few parts of the Rick Forney interview that weren't boring. He's not the most electric personality, let's put it that way. He's not a Mike Pinto or a Steve Montgomery. He's very blasé, but, you know, everybody's got their own style. You and I have ours. I'm sure people could rip through what we talk about, so...
Well, and
oh well.
Well justified on my part if they wanted to rip me. Absolutely. There really isn't much else going on in the league at this particular time, though, but we do want to talk about what Kevin and I have going on out here. So, Kevin, what's new with Kevin Lucco these days?
Well, not much. Last weekend I did complete the Saints year in review, and then I did added up the votes from everybody. Thank you to everyone that voted. And we did have our Saints Player of the Year, which went to Brady Shoemaker. Pitcher of the Year went to Mark Hamburger. Rookie of the Year went to Ken Frosch. And Spirit of the Saints Award, which goes towards the player that's pretty much the most popular player, but also the player that interacts with fans and kind of puts themselves out there the most, went to Mark Hamburger. And let's face it, until he retires, you may as well call it the Mark Hamburger Award, because I don't see anybody coming along that's going to top him.
Pretty popular out there, that I understood, too.
Yeah, I tell you what, he's a dynamic personality. And I just kind of did my year, the end of the year, thanks to everybody that helps me out throughout the season. And after that, it's just going to be a matter of if any news pops up in the league meetings coming up next month. So give me a little bit of a down period, just like everywhere in baseball once the playoffs are done.
Well, during the off season for me, we'll still be doing some player profiles to just kind of keep you updated on and keep you thinking about baseball, including general managers and ownership groups within the league. Hopefully be coming out there with the new manager for Fargo, as well as our Rosemont manager.
Michael Schlack got the job.
Yeah, yeah, so when I will be writing a story about him in the upcoming months, and we'll figure out when that Rosemont manager comes into play and the ownership group and everything associated with that. Try to give you a preview of who these guys are and give you an idea of what this team may be like. As well as Kevin and I will be continuing to do stuff related with the show. We may not always be talking about baseball because there may not be a whole lot to talk about, but I think Kevin and I will even have our World Series predictions, where we'll stay, give us a little Major League Baseball next week and tell you who we think is going to go all the way this season. So that should be...
And maybe an update on Charlie.
Well, because he's got to be excited about his Rosemont Dogs team pretty soon.
I haven't heard from him in a while. I don't know if he's got a job or what he's doing down there, but haven't heard from the guy. Maybe he found another Gert down there.
Oh, that'd be awesome for him. Hopefully, it doesn't work out the way that worked out with Gert, though. We don't want another recurrence of that.
I was going back through the archives of our blogs and kind of listening to a couple of Charlie segments, and well, yeah, it was the best of times and worst of the times for Charles. So yeah, we'll hopefully we don't find him on the side of a milk carton.
For real. Well, we want to thank you all for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you next time on This Week in the Association.